I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
Lead NFL and NFL draft analyst at Bleacher Report.
In NFL, you need guys who have upside and potential, and you have to have something that kind of makes you special.
The Stick to Football Podcast.
We ain't got to talk about too much. We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Going through college and NFL film.
You need to be just an MF-er out there where you're going to put this guy on the ground every play.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, your Western Conference champion. Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. Matt Miller is on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He of Bleacher Report joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Well, Matt, college football is actually upon us already, whatever this sort of loose approximation of NFL football has been, at least for Bears fans. Not real satisfying. We can get some actual game action this week. About damn time.
Yeah, it is about damn time. I'm actually out in Vegas. I've been here all week and will be here until Sunday doing stuff for Bleacher Report. And I'm really excited. We're going to have like a huge kickoff event for the Miami versus Florida game. Little surprised because I thought we were going to see Tate Martell instead. We're going to see Jaren Williams. But it's going to be so good to be back actually evaluating guys that are going to be drafted instead of like watching Bears games. And I love this about Matt Nagy, but when I watch the Bears, it's like, oh, this fourth string corner looks really good. So I'm excited for football that actually has some meaning behind it.
Yeah, Matt, you mentioned a quarterback kind of situation that resolved itself in a way that not a lot of people thought would happen. JT Daniels gets the USC job. Which new quarterback in college football will matter most to fans by the end of the year?
I think Justin Fields at Ohio State. That might be the easy answer, you know, because he was such a hot recruit coming out and looked decent in some, you know, flashy times at Georgia behind Jake Fromm, but not only because he's so talented. I mean, it was 1A, 1B, him and Trevor Lawrence that were coming out of high school as recruits, but also he's such a perfect fit for Ryan Day's offense at Ohio State. We haven't really seen a guy like this. You know, you had Braxton Miller, you know, for like a season before he got hurt. JT Barrett couldn't run to save his life, really didn't have a great arm. Dwayne Haskins had a pretty good arm, but wasn't mobile. So now we finally get to see a true dual threat in that offense. And I think Ryan Day is going to have a lot of fun with that. So I think Fields is going to be incredibly impactful. I also don't think you can discount Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma now, even though, you know, we didn't see him have a lot of success as a passer when he was at Alabama, but Lincoln Riley has a way of changing that. Kyler Murray didn't have a lot of success at Texas A&M, and he shows up in Norman and becomes the Heisman Trophy winner and the number one pick in the draft. So I think those are the two guys that I'm at least most intrigued to see. And this week it was made official. They're both going to start, which I know we were all a little, you know, unsure of what was going to happen there, which that's sarcasm for any new listeners. But it's going to be fun to see those guys on the field again.
Any trends of note as we understand the popularity of modern college offense? We see the homogenization of pro and college offense. We've been watching it up close, watching the way Matt Nagy has installed some of his stuff. But as you look around, as you see what teams are doing, are you noticing anything that we're going to see more in general when we flip on the TV on Saturdays?
You know, I think one thing that I've seen a lot this summer is I think the short timing-based passing game is just going to continue to take over college football. It's going to become harder to find, you know, the true air it out plays where, you know, like if you watch football, you know, watch the Saints or the Chiefs, you're still seeing a lot of downfield passing. I think in college football, that's really starting to go away because of the Lincoln Rileys and the Ryan Days and the Gus Malzahns, Mike Leach. It's so much now about, okay, we are going to put the five best athletes out there at the skill positions, and it's going to be a track meet. We're going to bet on our athletes to beat your athletes and put those guys in space to make plays. I was talking to an offensive coordinator, a college offensive coordinator a couple weeks ago about, you know, some of the things they want to do. And he's like, you know, there's just so little practice time anymore that we can't really develop guys we want to. So a lot of times they're going into game planning, just looking for the weak link on defense and then basically scheming to exploit that. You know, it's not like it used to be. We're going to run this offense. This is what we do. Now it's more about, okay, we know the defense is practicing as little as we are, so let us find a guy who's going to be maybe a corner who's not very good, and they're going to attack that side of the field as much as possible. Or, a lot of offenses are worried about young quarterbacks who don't have a lot of experience and they don't have a lot of mental reps. And, you know, how many slot blitzes are we going to see in college football this year? It's going to be an astronomical amount because so many of these inexperienced quarterbacks just aren't, they're not seeing that pressure. They're not even able to slide protection if they do see it. So I think we're seeing college football become almost a little bit more individualized in how teams are strategizing.
I want to get your thoughts on both Illinois and Northwestern. Illinois has named a quarterback. Northwestern had a high-profile transfer who's going to get a shot at that position. Your thoughts on both of the area teams?
Yeah, well, I mean, Notre Dame is Notre Dame, right? So I think you have to look at them and recognize the talent they bring back. There's a reason they're a top 10 team. I do think they're a little bit overrated, but I feel that way every year, and they still are a top 10 team. So I like what they have here. I think, you know, losing Tillery, Tranquil, and Love on the defense is going to hurt. Losing Dexter Williams and Miles Boykin is going to hurt. But Ian Book, in a full year as a starter, I mean, I like his accuracy. I like his toughness. I think we'll see Jafar Armstrong and Tony Jones do just fine in the backfield. And one thing about Notre Dame, you always know the offensive line is going to be able to take care of business. And they are, again, very experienced, very deep. They probably have two of the best guards in the country. And Kramer's getting a ton of looks as, you know, a potentially high draft pick on the offensive line. So they're going to be really solid offensively. I think on defense, Okwara is going to be the story. I mean, he has some first-round talent as a senior pass rusher. So he's probably the dude that I am most excited to watch. When it comes to Illinois, I haven't studied a ton of what they're doing other than Reggie Corbin, who I really actually like at running back. So that's one of those things, like you said, Brandon Peters comes in, gets named the starter. I never really had a high opinion of him at Michigan, but we also just didn't get to see a ton from him. So I'm excited about Corbin, excited about what this offense might be able to do, but Illinois is not one of those teams where, you know, we're really knocking down doors to get access and get film this time of year because of Alabama and Clemson. And
ouch. What a scathing indictment of the talent level. Yeah, you know, we're in the business of scouting. We're not.
I don't care. I don't care.
Pay no mind list.
It's Lovie Smith, guys. Come on. You know,
not for
You've
long.
You've been down that road.
Yeah, I don't think it's Lovie for long. And Northwestern, always interesting. I believe the over-under for their win total was 6.5.
I think it was the hook, yeah.
Because it kind of always is. They backed their way into a divisional title last year, unlikely to happen this year.
Yeah, with Clayton Thorson gone, I think we'll see the offense struggle a little bit, which is to be expected. I love Patty Fisher, though. I think he's one of the most fun linebackers in the country to watch. Remains to be seen what he'll look like as a draft prospect. Kind of need to, you know, be able to gauge his athleticism a little bit. But, you know, this defense should be really, really good. I think they obviously lose some guys like Jordan Thompson and Nate Hall. What they bring back is really impressive. So if they have a chance, it is the defense. Hopefully they can carry them a little bit, because I do think offensively it's going to be a little bit rough. I mean, unless Hunter Johnson is, you know, everything that he was supposed to be coming out of high school.
So, Matt, I'm looking through your way too early big board from back in, oh gosh, what was this, like May, something like that? Everybody's school is Ohio State or Bama or LSU or Bama or, well, Bama's on here a couple of times. Small school guy that may matter a ton for NFL teams to take a look at. Do you have to go to, Mason Fine at North Texas, or is there another small school type guy that you think could impress this season?
Yeah, I actually have an update coming out tomorrow to that big board. My scouting notebook comes back tomorrow, so you'll get that every Friday throughout the season. I think Mason Fine's a good one, quarterback for North Texas. Jordan Love at Utah State as another junior quarterback that is exciting as a small school guy. I think they're the two that have a chance. You know, this has really been a three-horse race at quarterback with Tua, Jake Fromm, and Justin Herbert. But as we've seen in the past, you know, there's room for someone to come in and surprise us. You know, Baker Mayfield was a surprise. Kyler Murray was a surprise. Lamar Jackson being a first-round pick was, to some people, a pretty big surprise. So there's room for those small school guys to really make their way in. And that's actually the focal point of the article that I filed for tomorrow, is the supply and demand at the quarterback position is pretty off again. So we're going to maybe need to see another four or five quarterback first round, because you got the Titans out here with this really good team and terrible quarterback play, and you have the Bucks. We don't know what's going to happen with Jameis Winston. We have so many guys getting older, you know, Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees, where there's not a clear successor in place. So I think this is an important year where we're not just going to be salivating over the big three, but guys like Jacob Eason, who's going to get a chance to start at Washington. You have to respect Jalen Hurts and what Lincoln Riley might be able to make out of him. And then, you know, the small school guys, because there is some talent there. And this is actually a pretty good senior quarterback class, even though we lost a decent amount last year. I'm pretty excited about what we could see just from this group this year of some of the guys like Mason Fine, who, when I was actually evaluating him a couple weeks ago, we broke it down on the podcast. He said, this dude reminds me of Daniel Jones. Like, just watching him play, the body type, the mechanics, the way he gets through his reads. I mean, he looks like Daniel Jones. He doesn't have the hype, because Jones was a David Cutcliffe guy coming out of Duke, but their play style is really, really similar. So if people liked Daniel Jones last year, then I think they're really going to like Mason Fine.
Well, so that's where I'm heading next. Are you with or against Baker Mayfield and his laying the wood to the Giants for taking Daniel Jones, and really Daniel Jones himself?
I mean, you guys know I'm a Texas fan. I can't really be with Baker on anything.
That's why I put it to you that way, man.
We're sworn enemies. No, I'm fine with what he said, and I tweeted this. It's hard for me to get mad at Baker for saying the same things, honestly, a toned-down version of the same things that we were all saying when the Giants drafted him that early. Now, I don't know if it's Baker's place to talk about that, and, you know, I wasn't there for the GQ interview, so I don't really know how that goes down. If something pops up on TV and he has a, you know, offhand comment about, can't believe they drafted that dude so early, yeah, that, who cares? I mean, when the Browns drafted Baker, they knew they were not getting, you know, a Tom Brady-level PR machine at quarterback. You're not getting Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. You're getting a guy who has a gigantic chip on his shoulder, and it has fueled him to success. You know, from being a walk-on at Tech and Oklahoma, to being a Heisman Trophy winner, to being the first pick in the draft, to having a really successful rookie season. My thing with Baker is he can run his mouth all he wants as long as he wins. Now, as soon as the Browns don't meet expectations, I think everyone's going to get real tired of, okay, we have this 6-foot-tall quarterback who won't shut his mouth. He needs to win some football games. When you win, you can do whatever you want.
Was it just me, or did I see some really nice things out of the corner of my eye watching Jarrett Stidham run a couple of drives for the New England Patriots? Because if I'm going to own all my Christian Hackenbergs and everybody else on whom I've been wrong, I liked Jarrett Stidham coming out. I still think that guy could develop into a solid, if unspectacular, pro quarterback. So I want to say my eyes weren't deceiving me.
No, they weren't. And I'll say this. I don't want to give myself any credit here. My co-host on Stick to Football, Mello, actually had Stidham as his number one quarterback. He was like, this guy has the most talent. I'm just going to roll with it. So it's been impressive. Stidham really has been. I think he's in a good situation. He was so hard to evaluate last year because that had to be the worst offensive line in all of college football, and you're going against SEC defenses. So I don't think it was easy to get a clean evaluation of Stidham. He had a great Senior Bowl. He actually had a great bowl game, too. But the talent was always there. The accuracy, the touch, the anticipation, the field vision, those things were there at Baylor. And so it was kind of easy to see, like, if he can get somewhere where he's not going to have to play early and he can get protected a little bit, and he's going to be able to throw the ball accurately and make good plays. So I think Stidham is a really exciting prospect to watch, and is the reason that I didn't mention New England as a team that, you know, might be drafting a quarterback early, even though Stidham was the 133rd pick. But I think a lot of that is people just got scared off by the last year at Auburn, where he really just wasn't protected very well. If you go back to 2017 at Auburn, I mean, he looked like a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. So I know people don't want to hear this, but the Patriots may have gotten one of the steals of the draft.
I want to bring this back a little closer to home. Who comes out of the Big Ten West? I know it's kind of a cluster, but you've talked highly about some of the talents on Iowa's defense, so I wonder if that's maybe your pick.
Yeah, I really like Iowa. I mean, I really like Nebraska as well. I think that's, you know, the hard part of trying to figure out who's gonna step up and run away with this thing. I would take Iowa as of now. I really want to see Nate Stanley take the next step. They have some amazing bookends at tackle and Jackson and Werps. AJ Epenesa is a top 5 player on my board, so they bring back a really, really dominant pass rusher as well. And I think, you know, Kirk Ferentz is just a really good head coach. So the Big Ten is outside of the SEC, obviously. I think the Big Ten is going to be one of the most fun conferences to watch this year, just because there is so much talent. I mean, not even looking at, you know, the Michigans and Ohio States, but what you have with Wisconsin and Iowa and Nebraska as kind of that three-headed race in the West is going to be really, really fun.
Are you watching Hard Knocks? And if so, are you as disappointed as some of the rest of us are with this season?
I am watching it. I feel like I have to for work, just because, you know, we need things to talk about, frankly, this time of year. I'm a little disappointed. I like that we're not getting the, here's a sob story about an undrafted free agent who has no chance in hell of making the team. You know, I feel like they've leaned in too hard on that in the past. I'm tired of AB, and I say that as someone who, you know, I do three podcasts a week. I host radio. Say, I'm just tired of talking about it. I would love to hear more about, you know, Josh Jacobs and how Cleveland Furl is adjusting, and, you know, the secondary was such a huge problem for them. How is LaMarcus Joyner and Trayvon Mullen, how are they improving this team? So I don't know if I'm the right target audience, because I feel like Hard Knocks is for, it's almost for the casual football fan who wants a soap opera look at a football team.
Yeah, my wife likes it. My wife hates football, loves Hard Knocks.
Yeah. I mean, so I think that's, it's not for us. I mean, it's entertaining. Like the Frank Caliendo stuff was, I mean, I was laughing. It was funny, but I would like a little more substance. You know, I always tell people don't trust anything you've seen on Hard Knocks, because it wasn't that long ago that people legitimately believed Jameis Winston was a franchise quarterback because of some things that had been edited to look good on Hard Knocks. Guess what? 2 years later, Jameis Winston's still not any good. So let's not make football evaluations off of it. But for entertainment purposes, I mean, I guess it's better than watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Matt Miller, thanks as always, man.
You bet, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.